All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We are going headlong into and through the summer. And man, I can taste it now, baby. Or smell it. Or feel it. Or whatever you want to call it. But we're getting close. We are within mere weeks now. Small multiples of weeks until training camp. It's basically that time of year where I sit down at the laptop and I type up my handmade, custom-made Buccaneer fridge schedule, which, by the way, I've never sold and I will not sell them, but if you would like one, I'd be glad to email you the file and you too can have one on your refrigerator. But I know it's close when I say, okay, it's time to do that. Because I like to have a big 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I put two of them up there. I put the Gators schedule and the Bucks schedule up there. And what I do is I sit down and I do a logo schedule. So I don't just do, you know, the names. I actually type out each game. I cut and paste a little logo for every team because I like all the colors up there. I get a big Bucks logo for the top of it. And I put every game, every team, the dates, the times, and the little logos all on there. All the important dates, playoffs too, it's all on there. Because I'm optimistic, and I might be doing that this week. It's time to get that up on the fridge. I'll have the whole thing memorized within about 3 days of it being on the fridge. But we'll talk more about that in future shows. I may just go ahead and allow people, if they want, I can just email them the file. You can print it out, and you'll have your own Buccaneer fridge schedule. Courtesy of Bobby Fenton. Bobby Game Day. Always here to help you out, to get you excited. But we're there now, and so today on the show, what I want to talk about, and first of all, always love hearing from you. Been doing a lot of interacting with you guys on Twitter and things like that and email. Always want to keep that going. So if you want to email me, please do. It can be about anything you want. You can rip me. You can talk to me. You can ask me questions. Anything you want. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. That's BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com. Of course, on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Y'all know that. What I want to get to today, because I've been hearing about it all week and didn't really honestly pay it a lot of mind, but it's been appearing on my timeline over and over, and I still keep seeing it. Even as of tonight, and I'm recording this, I always like to tell you my record time. As of Wednesday evening, I'm doing this. Yeah, you might be listening to this on Thursday or Friday or all through the weekend, but as of Wednesday evening, I'm sitting in my car, like I always do, in the driveway, here at One Game Day Place, and I'm just getting things done. And so, what I've been seeing all week is this whole thing with Jameis Winston's t-shirt, which I'm not getting into the t-shirt thing itself. Follow me on this, because the last thing I'm going to do is analyze Jameis Winston's t-shirt from a workout, a private workout. I don't care about that. But I keep seeing over and over and over and over, people are getting on Greg Allman of the Tampa Bay Times. Oh my God, how can you write an article like this? The press has an agenda. They're out to get Jameis. They're here to divide the fan base. I mean, I've heard so much of this crap over the past few days, so let me just address this real quick. And for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about or kind of just have maybe heard about the story just at arm's length and never really read much about it, after everything that's happened with Jameis Winston, as we know, three-game suspension, the Uber driver, on and on and on. We all know that. So, there was Instagram video posted of him going through a workout over at Skyway Park there, right up the Veterans. They got a beautiful turf field there. I've played intramural football in that field many times and ultimate frisbee. But the point is, he's over there getting some work in, which is good for him. He's got a private, this is not his Bucks quarterback's coach. He's got his own quarterback's coach that he does offseason workouts with, which is all fine. That's none of that's the issue. But where there became an issue was that his trainer was wearing a shirt that said Jameis against the world on it, and it became a mini controversy because some people pointed out, hey, the last thing this guy needs to do is cop an attitude now about, you know, the whole world's out to get me and this, that, and the other. He needs to be humble. Mainly, he needs to be quiet, get his work in, go through his preseason, serve out his suspension, and come back. And then other people are saying, oh, well, you know what? Quit overanalyzing. What is trainers wear? Who cares? Quit trying to make something and nothing. And listen, I'm not taking a side on either side because that's not what I'm doing on the show today. The story of the t-shirt is not the point. All right? I don't care enough about you. I mean, it's probably not a great idea, but I'm not on the list of things to worry about involving Jameis alone, much less the franchise. I don't consider this that high. But what I will say is that Greg Allman, who again is the guy who covers the Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, one of the guys who covers them, and as somebody in the media, I've been around Greg Allman, you know, at some of the same things, but I don't know him. I've never talked to him personally. So I'm not, you know, this isn't me like defending somebody who's my buddy or something. Although by all accounts, and he's very good at his job. I just know that from reading him. But by all accounts of other people I know that also know him, great guy. The point is, he's getting ripped. Not just the people. It's not like two warring factions of one side, oh my God, Jameis is an asshat. He's doing it again. I can't believe this guy. And the other side, oh, get off Jameis's back. That's normal. We're used to all that. That's been going on for some time now. But people are jumping on Allman as if Allman, like, wrote this story to be inflammatory and to try. And the story he wrote wasn't even like he sat down and wrote some big column. He just mentioned, hey, this is a thing. You know, Jameis had this shirt on, or his trainer had this shirt on. You know, maybe something that you want to keep an eye on. You know, somewhat controversial. You can find the story if you go on Google. Overall point, though. People are making this about, quote-unquote, the media. And people are saying, I don't understand the local media. They're always trying to put the Bucks down. They're always trying to divide the fan base, man. It's just not cool. It's really a shame our local media is like that. Instead of trying to unite everybody, they have to do stuff like that. Like, people have been saying that. And I can't believe, and this isn't even about football right now, what I'm about to talk about. I can't believe we have to really explain the role of the media in today, 2018. People don't still understand what it is the media does. Now, listen, I'm going to try not to sound paternalistic here. I'm going to try not to sound like I'm lecturing you. I'm going to try not to sound condescending or preachy. A lot of you are probably going to think I am that way, if you don't already. But that's really not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to lecture anybody. And I'm also not trying to get political, but I can't help but get a little bit political with this. It's popular right now, usually by people who are either trying to cover for something or deflect or just plain make an issue out of something else instead of where the real issue lies. But it's popular right now to make the media out to be like a character in all this. Like they're a party, one of the sides, one of the factions, and they're not. The media's only role, and it's a role that if you know members of the media, and I'm not saying every single member of the media falls under the same blanket. There's rogue people, of course. And there's different roles. There's columnists who are more opinion-based, and there's reporters who are straight-up reporters. But the role of the media is to simply report things. It really is. And again, not trying to get political, but when you hear our president talking about the media as the enemy of the people, which I would just call the dumbest thing I've ever heard if it wasn't so dangerous, to call it the dumbest thing I've ever heard kind of demeans it a little bit because it's worse than that. And you hear all kinds of people jumping on, oh, that's right, the media, they're trying to divide them. They're taking a side. Listen, again, people who say that, people who talk about, quote unquote, the media and their agenda, quote unquote, those people are either A, not very bright, or B, intentionally trying to deflect, or again, make an issue out of something that isn't a thing so that you won't pay attention to the thing that is a thing. And the one thing that you must understand about the media, including Greg Allman, he doesn't give a crap one way or the other. He's not trying to make fans fight. He's not trying to unite fans either. That is completely 1,000% out of his jurisdiction, and it's out of the realm, it's out of his sphere of influence. He doesn't care. He's a reporter. He reports things, he gathers information, he observes, he digs, and then he posts it out there, or prints it out there. And then that's it, and he's done. He takes his hands off the patient, and he walks away, and he starts looking for the next story. That's it. I don't think people understand the role of the media in this day and age. I still hear people, and again, not to get too political, but it comes more from one side than the other. all the media, they're out. No, like Greg Allman, I'm here. He's getting ripped on Twitter and people are like, come on, dude. I can't believe you're not trying to unite the fan base. It's really a shame, man. You know, taking cheap shots like that, trying to tear Jameis down. He's not tearing anybody down. He simply saw something and he put it up there. Hey, this is what I saw, which is his job. And when you hear about the mainstream media, quote unquote, again, I'm using air quotes, and how so many people bastardize that term and bastardize the role of that group, again, let's try and really be a little bit better. If you think people are making too big about the Jameis thing, like people are, perfectly valid opinion. But don't blame Allman just for the fact that he actually wrote the story. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because, you know, some people might be saying, oh, you know what, I'm tired of political correctness and blah, blah, blah. Who cares what shirt he wears? I don't want to hear about it. That's fine. Again, that's a perfectly valid opinion. But the people saying they're trying to shut Allman up, those are the people I don't think get it. He doesn't care. Like, Allman's not trying to, like, get people to rip Jameis. He sees a thing, he writes a thing. How people react to it, that is certainly up for criticism, of course. But I don't think Allman should be up for criticism just for making something known, which is his job. And you see this over and over, and again, it's gotten worse lately. Hint, hint, for reasons you may be able to guess. But in the past couple years, it's gotten worse, I think. But, you know, stop blaming the media for it. The media is not on a side. You might think it is, but it's not. And again, I'm not saying there's not rogue media members, and there's different things that fall under the category of media now, which some may hardly be considered journalism. I'm not talking about cable news. I'm not talking about even opinion columns, which are definitely opinion. I'm talking about reporters. They're still just reporters. They've always been reporters. They are the very fabric of an informed country. And when you start trying to stop them from saying things just because you think they're saying them for a reason besides just reporting them, that's not helping anything. And it's not what America's supposed to be all about. And when you look at our president doing it, I know why he's doing it. I think you probably do too. But wherever you fall on that, all right, Greg Allman's not doing it for that reason. Greg Allman is simply a reporter. And I think a lot of people still don't have a handle on what exactly the role of a reporter is. And they think that, again, he's trying to stir things up for clicks or things like that. I mean, of course, people in any, I mean, when you write for a newspaper or online or whatever, yes, you write stories so that people will read them. But it's not sensationalism. It's not shock jock media. It's not anything like that. So let's try and just, again, I'm not trying to be preachy here. I know a lot of you people are probably already pissed off because I've made this even a little bit political. But facts are facts, okay? And Greg Allman, if he ever reports something that is not a fact, or any other journalist reports something that's not a fact and they report it as fact, jump all over them, rip them, absolutely. But if he says a thing, and then you look and that thing actually happened, that's where it starts and ends for a guy like Greg Allman or any reporter. That's his job. And then what everybody else does with that information, again, totally up for debate. You can criticize people's reaction to it. You can criticize people's lack of a reaction to it. Whatever, that's fine. But God almighty, if I hear any more people, oh, the media trying to tear them apart, man. That's all the media in this town does. It's a shame Tampa's a town like that where our media tries to rip us apart instead of uniting. Their job ain't to unite anybody, and they're not trying to rip anybody apart. They're just saying what they see. And it's important that they do that. And I'm a big believer in media. And I'm a subscriber to the Tampa Bay Times. And when we had two papers, at one time or another, and sometimes simultaneously, I subscribed to both. And, you know, some people may not, I'm not saying if you don't subscribe to a newspaper, there's something wrong with you. But I'm just saying, you know, the media is as important now as it's ever been. And people say newspapers are a dying medium. Maybe like the actual physical newspaper is, but the reporters are absolutely not. I think it's a shame to see what's happening in a lot of newsrooms across the country because, you know, even here, you know, we lost the Tampa Tribune. We still have the Times, but I'm not even talking about sports now. I'm just talking about in general. You know, when you get two newspapers, down at the county courthouse on a regular day, routine stuff going on over there. You got two reporters at the county courthouse, the Times guy and the Tribune guy, and they're both competing for the same stories. They both want to get more information or get better information or get that information a little bit quicker. But there's one guy, he can just kind of hang out. He'll get it. You don't have to worry about anybody else getting it. He's the only one. So I think it's a shame when you see major newspapers that are the only ones in their market going through the issues they have, much less us having two and losing one, which was a damn shame. And, you know, people want to, like, again, make the media one of the players in these stories. Like, they're one of the characters in the show. They're not. They're reporters. And that's all they are. And again, if they say something wrong, then they're doing their job as a reporter wrong. If they say something that's not true and they report it as true, and that, you know, that, which does happen, but they usually go back and correct it. But if they intentionally were to do that, that would be violating a sacred trust, in my opinion. You'd be free to rip them. But Greg Allman catching all this you-know-what just for actually pointing out something that was on Instagram. I mean, it's not like he went, you know, even like hacked somebody's phone or something like that. It was on Instagram. And he puts it out there, and then there's this whole debate all week long. And the debate, instead of centering around what it should, or even having no debate at all, it centers around, should Greg Allman be writing that story? And again, he didn't even write like a big story. He just simply pointed something out in a blurb. So let's understand the role of media a little better. And again, if I sound preachy or condescending, I'm sorry, but I see a lot of people who don't understand or don't seem to understand how the media is supposed to work. And do people in the media have agendas? I'm sure they do. I mean, they're still people. You know, everybody's got personal with it. But for the most part, if that is not showing up in their reporting, which with Allman, in his case, I do not believe it did, then it's a non-issue. And listen, it'll only get better when we all decide to just be as fact-based as possible. Just, again, only go on the facts. If something's not true and it's said to be true, okay. But as long as something that is said to be true is actually true, move on from the source and get past the idea that it's... I mean, we want to shine light. To me, whether you're a Bucks beat reporter or whether you're the courthouse reporter I was talking about or whether you're the national whoever, you want to shed light on as much stuff as possible. You want to put things in the paper and then people can decide what they want to decide. But we shouldn't be in the business of trying to discourage people from doing that at any level, whether it's, again, the high school football prep reporter all the way up to some national correspondent. With all that said, not much football going on yet. Again, camp is coming up. I opened up the floor on Twitter tonight, and again, you can always tweet at me or follow me at Bobby Game Day. And I said, hey, I'm doing the show a little bit later on. Anybody got anything they want me to talk about on the show today? Got some good responses, so I'll get into those tonight. I say tonight because I'm recording at night. The first one I got was from Tony, and this is football related, so you'll all be happy about that. My good friend Tony, who I interact with on Twitter quite a bit, and he says, Bobby, yeah, this is after I asked if anybody had anything they wanted me to get to on the show. He said, talk to me. Anyway, pull the tweet up. I should have had it ready. I'm sorry. He says, pick a player you think will make a big jump for the Bucks this year and one who will regress. Okay, that's a good one. Let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, who will make a big jump this year? There's actually a handful of guys I had in mind when he asked me that question. As far as who could make a big jump this year, the first one that came to mind was Chris Godwin. Because Godwin, first of all, he's really good. Second of all, he flashed it last year, but wasn't in a position to get maybe as many opportunities as I think he'll get this year. You got Mike Evans. Obviously, he's the guy everybody's going to talk about, but he's also the guy everybody's going to zero in on. And with DeSean Jackson not really, you know, being that number two guy to Evans that we, it doesn't mean he can't be, but like, you know, last year it didn't seem like they ever got him going. And of course, you could blame Jackson. You can blame the offensive staff, whatever you want to do. I feel like Godwin's in a position right now to really make a big step forward, and I think by the end of the year it could be the clear, you know, almost like you say his name in tandem with Evans, Godwin Evans, or Evans Godwin. So he was one that came to mind. O.J. Howard's another one who he did have a nice year. He and Brate combined. I mean, if you take Brate and Howard's stats and combine them into one tight end, it's Gronkowski-level production we got from the tight end position. I mean, really, really good. six touchdowns apiece, or whatever many yards it was. So obviously you still have both guys, and that's good. I really think Howard, you know, makes a big leap this year, and he was already good last year. Another one I'll say, and at least maybe this one's wishful thinking, but I'm hoping, Vernon Hargraves. I mean, we need him to be good, okay? The Bucs are still at corner. We don't know the situation. Brent Grimes, who I'll get to in a minute, going to be 35 now when this season starts. Hargraves looked pretty decent his rookie year. We all know what happened last year. It was a whole thing. We went on and on and on. Is he really that bad? I just can't believe that he is. I feel like he steps forward this year. And I'm not saying he's going to all of a sudden play up to the potential of a number one draft pick, first round draft pick, that he is. But he ain't going to be nearly as poor as he seemed like he was last year. I think he improves a lot. And then the last one I'll say, and I've been saying this for a while, but Jameis himself is another one who I think makes a big leap this year, despite everything that's happened, despite all the stuff off the field, and despite the three-game suspension. I still believe after this whole thing is over, he serves his suspension, he comes back in the fourth game. I think this is a big year for him. And we've talked about how make or break it is, given his contract situation, given the decision the Bucs will be faced with on whether to go big for that second contract with him or not. And for everything that's happened, I do think he's going to be good this year. I think he'll be, you know, this is a big year for him anyway, but obviously given everything that's happened, there's even more riding on it now. I mean, his whole career, he's going to be watched like a hawk both on and off the field, but the fate of his career is going to depend in no small part on those 13 games when he gets back from this suspension. And it's amazing to me the perception of him outside of the Bay Area. And not just outside, sometimes inside, but I mean, I was, for example, some of you know I do some TV work, some crew work. I do some on-screen graphics and like the score box and stuff that when you watch the game on TV, the little score up in the corner. I do that for Rays games. I do that for some Lightning games. I usually work for the road teams that come in here. It's a freelance gig. I've been doing it since even back when I was on the radio. I've been doing this. It's decent money to go sit in the TV truck at the ballpark and watch the game, which I'd be doing anyway, and just click a mouse a little bit and type a little bit while I'm doing it. So I love doing the job. But what I do like about it, in addition to just, again, being about the ballpark, is that, like I said, I work for the road team, so I'm always in the TV truck with all these different crews. It's not like I do the same crew every night. If the Rays are playing, the Phillies, I got the Phillies people I'm with. Then they're playing the Blue Jays the next week. I'm working with the Blue Jays people, the Yankees, the Red Sox. So I get to hear their conversations and things like that. And I get to know a lot of good people, and I've made a lot of good friends and stuff like that. So the Yankees were here a little while back playing the Rays, and I was working the Rays-Yankee game like I always do. And I was doing the game, and a couple of the Yankees guys that were here in town on the crew for them were talking. And I'm just listening. And they were talking about football, and I forget what the hypothetical, somebody had brought it up before, but they had said, who would you take right now, Jameis Winston or Eli? Their guy's Eli. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like, no-brainer. And this is before the Uber thing had happened, by the way, just as to clarify. And I'm thinking, wow, you'd be a real idiot to take Eli over Jameis right now. And, without even pausing, both of them were like, oh, yeah, Eli, I wouldn't touch Jameis right now. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I'm thinking, are they crazy? But then I'm thinking, am I crazy? Because they're not the only ones I've heard say that or say something like that. And I'm thinking, my God, Eli, forget about Eli in his prime. Just the idea that Eli is on the back end of his career and probably only has a couple decent years left, if you even think those years are decent now, versus a guy like Jameis who maybe does flame out, but still has tremendous upside. I mean, I think you're absolutely insane. But people just think Jameis is dog bleep right now. They don't even think about him. If you took a list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, even top 15, he wouldn't be on it for a lot of people. And I still think. Again, the off-field stuff is a huge wild card, and if you think that you just can't trust him because of that, that's fine. That's not a bad take in any way. But on the field, I mean, again, I can't believe how little people think of him. He's been really good, and I think it's going to be even better this year because he's going to be really good, in my opinion. Now, it's perfectly valid to say, oh, well, you know what? Show me. It's easy to say that with all this crap going on off the field. I'm not going to invest anything until he shows me. Of course not. Perfectly valid. But just listen to those guys, and they were like, oh, man, I'd take like, if you were the Giants right now, and this is just a hypothetical, but if you had a chance to have Jameis Winston right now instead of Eli, and Jameis is still, like, 24. I mean, he's 24. He's the same age as most guys, some of these guys coming out, making their first ever start, and he's already got all these years under his belt. Versus a guy like Eli, who, again, whatever you think about Eli as a quarterback over the years, whether you think he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, or a guy who's fallen ass backwards into the tremendous luck, whatever you think of him, right now in 2018, I mean, to me, no-brainer. You take Jameis over him, but that's not how these guys saw it. And I'll bet you if I asked a lot of you out there, you might say the same thing. That's why when I first thought about it, I was like, wow, these guys are crazy. But then I stopped and thought about it more. Maybe I'm the crazy one, I thought. Maybe I just see something no one else sees, or maybe I don't see something that everyone else sees. I don't know what it is. But anyway, he'd be on my list of guys, Tony, to answer your question, that I think make a big step forward this year. As far as the regressing one, who's going to regress for the Bucs? That's obviously a harder one to answer. You don't want to think anybody's going to regress. You're always forward-thinking, improvement, this, that, and the other. I will say this, and Miko would have my ass if she heard this or if she even cared what I had to say, which she probably doesn't. But Brent Grimes, the only reason I'm saying Brent Grimes is because, again, just another year older. He's still only 35. It's kind of hypocritical for me to say this because I'm 38, and I'm always going on and on about how I feel great and how I feel just as good at 38 as I do at 28, and getting old is overrated, and the new, you know, 38's the new 40, or I shouldn't say 38's the new 43. 43's the new 38, whatever cliche crap I say every week to make myself feel better since I'm 38. Grimes is only 35. That's not ridiculously old, but again, the level these guys play at, let's say it's 100 scale. This is what people I don't think understand sometimes. Let's say on a scale of 0 being just someone who can barely walk to 100 being the most peak physically conditioned, top of his game pro athlete in the world. NFL players and pro athletes in general operate in that, you know, 90 to 100 area. And the very best ones, you know, in that 98, 99, especially cornerbacks where athleticism rules. You know, these guys are operating at 98, 99 on that scale, way up there. And so when you lose your athletic ability as you age, these guys aren't all of a sudden just jamokes who are like in the 50s or 60s. You might drop from a 98 to like a 93. But at cornerback, that'll get you eaten alive. So I'm not, you know, it's not like these guys, I mean, Brent Grimes, we saw him make plays last year. I mean, he's still an unbelievable athlete, and I'm not predicting his demise or something this season, but if you're asking me for a regression candidate, just playing the percentages, you know, there's going to come a point when the Bucs can't rely on him as a stud corner, which is again why I went back to Hargraves in the stock leaping category for this year, and maybe I'm just hoping it, but, you know, he's still an important part of this defense. And if he can show anything, he'll get the chance to do more and more. They need him. They don't have a ton of corners. I know they drafted a couple, but we don't know, you know, that we don't know that yet, what they're going to end up like. But that, again, that's a reason they drafted a couple. So if you're looking for the stock down, that's just one I would say. But I am by no means saying, oh, yeah, Brent Grimes is going to fall off a cliff this year. I still think he's good as hell, and he's going to need to be to help this defense out. So we'll see. But anyway, Tony, that's to answer your question. I appreciate you responding to the tweet. I always love hearing from you guys. I got one other one from my good friend Dave Druda, who I used to work with way back in the WHBO 1470 days. I have a lot of good memories and a lot of good fun with Dave. And he said, this is a baseball question regarding the Rays stadium situation. He said, Bobby, the MLB commissioner formally announced intent to expand, even named cities. Does that crush any leverage that Rays ownership has to demand public funding for a stadium, at least until expansion locations are locked in? Should Hillsborough County now demand the Rays use their new TV money toward the stadium? Well, listen, the whole stadium financing thing, I mean, the numbers are so gargantuan that even with a sizable team contribution, it's going to be a huge public contribution one way or the other, whether it's tourist taxes or whether it's local businesses, whatever it is. But to Dave's point, he's absolutely right, and I've said this before. Every time some jagoff, either on Twitter or in the comments section of some article about the Rays, makes some crack about, oh, who cares about these guys anyway? The Montreal Rays, am I right? Just a matter of time. Yuck, 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 yuck. Screw all those people. They have no idea what they're talking about. MLB is going to expand. They are going to go to 32 teams. And so everybody on the whole relocation bandwagon, baseball's not relocating teams. They're adding them. Montreal is going to get their team, I bet. But it's probably going to be an expansion team. Portland or Charlotte or whatever the hell the other one ends up being. Same thing. So in a time when they're looking to expand to two teams anyway, expand with two more teams, they're going to relocate a third one now that we're adding three new markets? No. Like, the Rays are not leaving, okay? Never mind this is a top 15 TV market. And same with Miami. Like, people say, oh, my. And they have their state. Baseball, MLB does not want to be out of Florida. Florida's, it's moved up now. It's like the third or fourth most populous state. We just passed New York. I mean, I think it's third now. I think it's California, Texas, and Florida. And you think MLB wants to completely be out of Florida? That's asinine. I mean, that is 1,000% asinine. So, it doesn't mean like, hey, we can do whatever we want. The Rays need to get a stadium built, no question. But Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, wants to make that happen. Major League Baseball wants to be here. And I know it's easy to look at the attendance on any given night and say, oh, they had 12,000 tonight, Bobby. What are you kidding me? Why would they care if they're here or not? Believe me, they want to be here. And they're going to be here. And I don't know what's going to happen with the stadium thing, but I predict it will get worked out one way or the other. And Major League Baseball is going to be here a long time. And I think it'd be foolish not to, on both ends, to let something like that go by the boards. There's ways. We got smart people on it. They'll figure it out. And again, if you're against public money for a stadium, that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying you should be. But the idea that they're going to move or that that's some sort of a threat. Number one. Number two, what are we having trouble with right now? Figuring out a way to pay for a stadium. What the hell's Montreal and Portland got? They don't have stadiums sitting there ready to go. They got to build them too. They don't have magic stadium dollars under a pillow any more than we do. And if they had a baseball team right now, they'd have to figure out a way to pay for a stadium for it to play in just like we do. They're no different. I don't know why everybody thinks Montreal's so like, they're like the trendy, oh, Montreal, they get it going on. Well, let's see their stadium. They don't have anything either, except Olympic Stadium, which is not that far above the Trop. So, again, those places will get their team. I want Montreal to have a team. I think the Expos should be back. I think they will, but I think it'll be an expansion team. And I don't think baseball's looking to contract anybody or relocate anybody. They want to, again, get this figured out here. They want to get it figured out in Oakland, and then they want to expand to 32, and then they might even realign the leagues. They'll probably put the DH in both. I mean, there's going to be a lot of change in baseball for the next 10, 15 years. If you're a baseball fan, keep an eye on that. Now, I was watching the All-Star game last night, having a great time, by the way. But it was pretty boring through the first seven innings. I mean, baseball now, people talk about ways to fix baseball. I don't know what you do to actually fix anything. And the playoffs are still fantastic. Last year's playoffs were just high drama, fantastic TV. Regular season's too long and too boring, yeah. But that's not just baseball. But, you know, every pitcher in that game that came in last night in the first six or seven innings, I mean, literally every single one, the guy was throwing 98. I mean, everybody throws like 135 miles an hour now. It's a wonder they even scored three or four runs. I don't know how anybody touches these guys. Ridiculous how hard everybody throws. And eventually they got deeper into the bullpens, and then they started hitting some dingers, and it turned out to be a dinger fest. But through the first, like, six innings, I think there were four solo home runs, like 17 strikeouts. And that was it. Like, literally the rest of the game was just nothing happening. It was just strikeouts, couple solo homers, and a bunch of fly balls. That was it. Which, when you think about it, kind of encapsulates what the entire first half of the baseball season was like, too. But it picked up at the end, and this baseball season will pick up at the end, too, because the baseball playoffs are still great, great television. And it'll be fine. So, thanks for the question, Dave. There's your answer. And thanks to all of you for getting at me on Twitter. And, you know, again, I'm always there to answer your questions. They're just my opinions. I'm not necessarily, you know, any more right or wrong than you might be. But when you ask, I will always answer. So with that said, I want to thank the Joes for having me on the show, or having me on the website, letting me host the show on the website. As always, they treat me like gold, they give me autonomy, and they allow me to get in front of all of you on the most trafficked and the best Buccaneer website anywhere, year-round. And this off-season, you know, it's the off-season, right? Every day, 3, 4, 5, 6 articles, always content. Every 15, 20, 30 minutes, new content. They're machines. These guys are unbelievable. To allow me to be a part of it, I'm honored. So thanks to them. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks for your tweets and emails and all that stuff. That is the free stretch for mid-July. I think we got, what, one more in July or maybe two? What's today? Probably, I think we got, yeah, one more in July. I'm Bobby Fenton. I'll be back next week. And in the meantime, wherever you are, you can always get a hold of me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, Twitter at BobbyGameDay. Be safe this week. Have a fun weekend. There's only a few of these blank weekends left. There'll be football before you know it. I don't give a crap if it's preseason or what. Just get it to me. All right? And until then, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.